This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Someone pooped in someone's yard. We'll get to that in a second. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. What, Chris? I'm sorry. I'm bringing you the news.
It's journalist Jesse.
There's just no one better.
We love Jesse. Boston marathon runner caught pooping in a stranger's yard in a doorbell video. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've been wrestling with this for a couple hours now, ever since I saw it. It's been on my mind, Chris. I know I can't run one, Chris. Did I say I was going to run one? You know what I'll do? I'll cheat. I have no problem cheating. I would just catch a ride with somebody. No, I'd have it. Look, I'm a wheel man. I'll have my crew waiting for me to speed me around, and I'll finish it in record time. Oh, I can't believe I did this without sweating. Anyway, back to this whole thing. I've been wrestling with this for a while. Is there really a bad guy here? Now, hear me out. You're running a marathon, 26 miles. This is just one of these things. The wife did this one time. She trained and ran a half marathon in Washington, D.C. Now, this thankfully never happened to her, but apparently this is something that happens to these freaks who love to run long distance. Every now and then, it's coming. It's something going on in your body, and it's coming. So, what's he supposed to do? He's got to go. It's not like he pooped on your front porch. It's not ideal, I realize. Now, I understand the homeowner coming out and confronting the runner about the poop, but I don't think we have a bad guy here. You know what you do if you're a runner? You go back to the house with the plastic bag and a 20. And you say, hey, man, I'm sorry. I did what I had to do. Anyway, I think we should probably move on to some other stuff because we have some funny phone calls we'll get to. That's been on my mind. I'd like to talk about what's on my mind. Trump went on Truth Social and tried to fire a shot across the bow at Heavy D.
Ron DeSantis is a young man who is not doing well against me in the polls, to put it mildly. I believe that if he decides to run for president, which will only hurt and somewhat divide the Republican Party, which we don't need, he will lose the cherished and massive MAGA vote and never be able to successfully run for office again. I believe that. If he remains governor, which is what Florida voters assumed he would do, it would be a whole different story. Just saying. But who knows?
Okay. I think a lot of people, some people who don't like Trump now, they've complained about him blasting DeSantis so often. One, that's a primary. Two, keep in mind, he's very worried. He's obviously worried about DeSantis getting in. There's a reason he hasn't blasted Nikki Haley or Tim Scott or any of these other people who are getting in. He hasn't blasted that Vivek guy, Ramidi or whatever his name is. He hasn't blasted him either because those people aren't significant. DeSantis is significant, and somebody Donald Trump's going to have to deal with. And he's trying to do something, and I actually support it. I think it's very smart. I think it's smart as far as campaign strategy goes. He's trying to blast him so hard now to keep him out. Because once he's in, he's in. He's not getting out. You blast him both barrels now as hard as you can, trying to keep him out. Now, you can take that too far. And by too far, I don't mean too far as in you've been too mean, as in you're looking a little desperate to keep him out. If you talk about him all the time, it looks like you're nervous instead of the front runner. But I get what he's doing. Again, it's nothing I think I'd stress over. Whatever. I want to know about you and your screw-ups. The worst you've ever screwed up at work. Richard in Portland. Go, Dick.
Hey, I was upstairs in the bathroom at where I worked, and I was in the old commode taking a number two. And I'm sitting there just, you know, thinking or whatever. And then the power goes out.
Oh.
I mean, it was black. Oh. I mean, the entire... So I thought, God, I got to get out of here. So I flushed the toilet. And then, you know, that familiar toilet flushing sound you always listen for when you flush the toilet?
Yep.
It wasn't there.
Oh.
And the water came up over the side, and, oh, and I had an ocean with one whale in it. And nothing, nowhere to go, no light, no broom, no nothing. And I did get it cleaned up, but I've never actually told anyone that story. So you're the first one, so congratulations.
Richard, I'm glad you chose to share that story with everyone. All of a sudden, that was awesome. gosh, stop it. You guys make me laugh. I'm crying. Cindy in Wisconsin. Go, Cindy.
I'm sorry. Dick is my new hero.
That's yes, ma'am.
Dick is just a bad one. You know what I mean? Oh. It's just like, wow, okay. Don't we want to be him? Okay, so in short, growing up, in my family's circuit board business, so we smelted metal, okay? And I never worked in the offices when I was a kid. So I'm like, 15 or so. And I'm actually working out in the board shop, and one of the board runs through the oven, and it catches on fire. Now, there's a 23-year-old woman there working, young woman working for me. I'm 15. What I do, I go grab the fire extinguisher to put it out, because flames are shooting everywhere, and of course she gets stuff in her eyes, and then she's on her way to the hospital. Now, I understand my family's relatively poor at this point, anyway, it's just a big mess. So I'm sitting outside out back crying, and my dad's coworkers, who all I've grown up with, knowing all of them since I was a little kid, and my dad asked me, he's like, "Well, Sid, why didn't you use the stick?" And tears were running down my face because everything had to be completely aired out. It was just, we didn't have much money. This is early 80s. And I said, what stick? He said, you know, the stick hanging on the side of the refill oven. And I said, that thing? He said, yeah, that's what it's for, to push boards through that catch on fire. You just push them into the water.
Oh.
And then I started crying even harder because I had nobody ever told me that. And Dak and his buddies, the guys that I had grown up, again, older men all my life, said they were tears tears. Nobody ever told me that was what the stick was for.
I'm sorry, Cindy. Brian, Connecticut, go.
Hey, how you doing? Those are tough to follow. First time caller. I was my younger days. I was an assistant greenskeeper at a reputable country club, and I was driving my Cushman around before the first round went out and spilled gasoline in the back. It was a full tank of gas, and I had no idea. So I essentially drove and burned a perfect strip ground line through 18 holes of the country club. They fired me.
That's pretty good, Brian. That's pretty good. Oh, gosh. Look, what are we going to do? Do you want to talk about the fact Americans are lacking food and water, or should we go back to these? Because I have a headline. Jeez, that's an unbelievable number. 33.8 million adults in the U.S. lack dependable access to food and water. That's in 2021. We are hurting in some parts of this country, huh? 33.8 million, that's 10% of the country. 10% of the country doesn't have dependable access to food and water. Now, think about this. Think about how much worse that number is going to get as the cities descend down into madness. My friend Lauren Chen, I saw her. She was putting out something today. It was very sharp about the food deserts that are being created in the cities because the restaurants can't stay. The restaurants, they're losing so many businesses. It's not worth it to stay open. What, are you going to stay open and get an employee shot? Now, obviously, we are big on the you voted for this campaign and look in the mirror and own it. You voted for it. And we're not going to back off on that. But that is sad, man. Think how many people are living a life totally different than your life or my life. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we're not swimming in money here, but we've got food and water. We ate cheeseburgers today. It's crazy. All right, we're going to get back to these. The worst you ever screwed up at work. 877-377-4373. You! Tomorrow's Friday. What does that mean? I mean, it's the weekend's practically here, which means it's Mantis X time because the weekends are for Mantis X. And maybe you're sitting there saying, Jesse, I don't have time to practice with my weapon. I got the kids and the husband and the dinner and the dogs, and I have to clean up this. And no, 10 minutes. You see, Mantis X attaches to your weapon, and you practice in the comfort of your home. In the comfort of your home. You don't have to leave the AC. If it's raining outside, no biggie. You're still inside going through drills, and they're giving you feedback, making you a better shooter. I want to make sure that's clear. It's not just target practice. You have things you need to improve on. We all do. It will make you better fast. 20 minutes, you'll be better. Why do you think the Marines use it? The Green Berets use it. It's what the pros use. Go to MantisX.com and get yours today, all right? MantisX.com. We have people retiring in this country, and it's not good. And your phone calls. Next.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. And this is really ugly news about the retirement. So what we're going to do, we're going to do what all mature people do. And we're going to push off the hard things until later and do the fun things now. Don't forget, kids, always procrastinate. You never want to get on top of things immediately. You just want to push them off into the last possible minute, thus causing yourself and everyone around you more stress and strain than is necessary. Cliff, Pittsburgh, go.
Perfect example. I may have called my director's boss an idiot for removing software ahead of time without having replacement. And then later when I told HR that they were trying to tell me something, I said, well, I should have called him a moron, but I was trying to be polite. And here I am a couple weeks later, and I'm no longer employed.
I'm sorry, Cliff. Are you going to land on your feet somewhere?
Oh, I just got to find some jobs here, yeah, but I should be able to. I'm a network engineer, old school, guys. But, in today's, my first job opportunity, they wanted me to shave my beard, and I had to be vaccinated. So that went down the drain, even though I was overqualified.
Hey, Cliff, I might have something for you, and no promises, all right? But I might have something for you. I want you to check out an organization I'm not part of,
but I met with them and I'm very, very impressed, called New Founding. New Founding. I think it's newfounding.org. There are people. They are connecting talent with organizations that won't make you shave your beard and stuff poison into your arm. They are our people. Yep. Check them out. New Founding. All right?
All right. Will do. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Keep a good work.
Best of luck, brother. Robert, Pennsylvania. Go.
Yeah, I'm a general dentist, and earlier in my career, I was replacing two missing teeth on a patient with a five-tooth bridge, and I had several appointments involved. I got to the final step. The bridge fit beautifully. When I went to cement it permanently, I accidentally caught part of a cotton roll underneath of it, which meant it didn't seat all the way. So I had to go back and totally destroy it and start over, and it cost me several thousand dollars.
Now, let me ask you something, Robert. Why dentistry? And I'm not judging, because dentists make good money. It's a good living, but don't you have to go to school just as long as you're like a heart doctor or something? Why dentistry?
It took 4 years to learn the skills and to get the education.
That's not as bad then. I get it. Dentists make good money. They do. If you have any flying to do, I'll get back to these in a second. You might want to go ahead and knock that out now. A tsunami of commercial airline pilots retiring is coming. How bad is it? More than 40% of the current pilots, or no, I'm sorry, more than 50% are going to be forced to retire within 15 years. Now, that alone is bad enough. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, good, they're getting old. Get rid of them. Can't have some old blind pilots. And I would normally agree with you, but have you happened to peruse the advertising for the different airlines now and what they're looking for? Are they bragging on all these advertising? Hey, come fly with United. Come fly with Delta. Are they bragging about the quality of the pilot they're bringing in? Hey, we got the best pilots here. The most rigorous training. You'll be the safest you've ever been. No, as all the old pilots are retiring, the various airlines are bragging about how diverse all the new cockpits are going to be. Look, we got our first women. Ooh, the first all-black crew. Woo, isn't that exciting? Actually, I find the most exciting part of flying is not dying. I've always really enjoyed that part of flying, but it is what it is. Johnny, Jersey, go.
I'm a pure talk guy, so send them 30-06 downrange.
Yes, sir.
I've been driving trucks of one sort or another for over 40-plus years. One time, about 30 years ago, I was in the cab of my truck getting loaded, and the foreman dispatcher waved me out of the dock. And the forklift was half on, half off the tail of my truck in the dock plate. I heard a loud crash, and I get out of my truck, and I saw the forklift nosedive into the pavement. Forks were mangled. Luckily, the forklift operator was off, and no one got hurt except the forklift and a little bit of a concrete slab.
Ooh. Those forklifts, I've very, very briefly, I don't want to act like I'm any kind of skilled with it or anything like that, but I have run a forklift briefly a couple times. Those things are actually dangerous. You can flip a forklift real easy, real, real easy. You know what it takes to drive a forklift around for a living, Chris? Testosterone. That's what, Chris? That's what it takes. I don't even know that I consider running heavy equipment or doing any of these man jobs unless I was on a male vitality stack from chalk. And maybe you're one of these women who works around all this stuff. Or I guess they have women in warehouses and stuff now. I don't know, doing their nails or whatever they do. But they need a female vitality stack as well. You heard Cindy from Wisconsin earlier. She's burning the place down. She needed a female vitality stack, man. Natural herbal supplements. The best. They really are the best, man. And the people who run chalk are our people. To put it mildly, they are our people. Go to chok.com and get a subscription. Subscriptions are 35% off with the promo code Jesse, so that's significant. Don't lose out on those savings. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. This seems like a big deal.
My client wants to come forward to Congress. He's ready to be questioned about what he knows and what he experienced under the proper legal protections.
Attorney Mark Lytle's client is a supervisory special agent at the IRS who's prepared to tell Congress the investigation he's been working on has been hampered by what he thinks is special treatment.
Typical steps that a law enforcement investigator would take were compromised because of political considerations.
Can you identify him?
I can't at this stage, Jim.
But CBS News has learned the investigation the whistleblower worked on is about Hunter Biden.
What we're doing is being completely cooperative.
That was Biden 2 years ago, after the DOJ opened an investigation into his finances. The FBI collected what it believed was sufficient evidence to charge Biden with tax crimes. And last year, Senate's findings to the U.S. attorney in Delaware. Since then, silence.
Why can't your client talk to us directly at this point?
There are laws that provide protection to whistleblowers, and he has to navigate that.
Today, Lytle sent this letter to Congress, claiming his client could provide information that would contradict sworn testimony by a senior political appointee.
I have promised to ensure that he's able to carry out his investigation.
CBS News has learned that was Attorney General Merrick Garland.
Uh-oh.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think they're going to use Hunter to run Joe out of the White House. All right. For some reason, the most horrific workplace screw-ups have been saved till the end. There's like 5 or 6 of these that have me cringing already. You ready? Buckle up. It's going to be good. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I can't wait for this day to be over so we have a better musical selection from now on. And don't forget, tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Do not wait till tomorrow. All 3 hours are you and your questions. Email them in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right? jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, just really quickly, Joe Biden.
And by the way, anybody who doesn't think we have global warming, hang out with me, man. Travel every major fire I've been to.
What does that mean? What does that mean? He's just, that's part of the reason he's gone. He's the worst spokesman for everything. Okay, I'm actually cringing about these now because lots of these have been lighthearted and funny, and apparently it's going to get worse, but also funny. Jake in Michigan, what's the worst you ever screwed up at work, bud?
Jesse Kelly, the man with the hour, the man at the hour, the man with the power, the man is too sweet to be sour. Here's what I did. It was my very first job, and I was cutting bags, plastic bags in a bag-making factory. The guy on the other side of the belt said, here's the most important thing are your fingers, brother. So the bags come down the belt, and the heat, it was a heat-cut machine. The blade would come down, seal the bag. As we're going through, we need a catch word. The word was go. So we're talking regular conversation. He says the word go in the middle of his sentence. So I push the button, and the blade comes down, and I cut his finger off at the knuckle. Mm-hmm. And I was freaking out, just freaking out.
Oh, my gosh. Well, now, hold on. That sounds like his fault. He said the word go, did he not? And you just said when he said go, you're supposed to press the button.
That's correct, and I did, and there was no catch on the blade, so it came down and it cauterized his finger at the knuckle. But I felt so bad. I felt awful, absolutely awful.
You know, at least it cauterized, too. I wouldn't beat yourself up over. He's got 9 other fingers. Let's not stress about one little half of one. Gage in Washington, go.
All right, so about 5 years ago, I was working in a sawmill. I was training to be a forklift driver, and we stationed all our bunks next to the railroad, and there was a rail car there, so I put the bunks about 6 inches off of the rail car. Nobody thought it was important to tell me that a caboose is about 12 inches wider on each side.
Mm.
And so day shift came by, and the caboose blew up around 30 bunks, which is about 10,000 boards, turned them all to toothpicks.
Oh,
whoopsies.
No, that sucks. Greg in Atlanta, go.
So I do heat and air. 21 years ago, I move up here to the Atlanta area. 3 months at the job, my new job up here. I got my torches out and soldering the copper lines. They got so hot, they caught the 2x4s inside this customer's house on fire.
Oh.
And smoke's coming out from up 2 stories out. We couldn't find a hose. Fire department shows up, totally rips all the siding off this lady's house, and was due for my 3-month review. Little did I know they had already given me a dollar raise.
Oh.
So ended up working there for 11 years.
Oh, that sucks. I can't. Tack in Colorado, go.
So this was 20-some years ago. Worked for an equipment manufacturer. We sold equipment to semiconductor fabs all over the world. And this in particular, one of the biggest semiconductor manufacturers, computer manufacturers, happened to be their branch in France, was emailing, complaining about a machine we sold. And all I could think was, you know, writing this quick email, trying to explain to them, we have hundreds, if not thousands, of these machines all over the world. Your people must be, you know, I didn't come out and say it, but apparently your people must be idiots because no one else is having these issues. Well, I did it as nice as I could. Go to sign the email. This is back in the day before Outlook had signatures, that stuff. And I meant to type regards and then my name. What I actually substituted was a T for the G in regards, and instead of a comma on the regards, I put an exclamation point. Now, hold on 1 second, because it gets a little better. This was back, you know, before you had these big address books and everything, and you hand typed in a lot of email addresses. Well, I switched two letters in an email address to some fairly high ups at this company. Well, the two letters I switched actually ended up getting that email to the CEO of this corporation, and all hell broke loose after that. 10 minutes after I sent it, I could hear the vice president, my boss, sitting in his office getting a phone call. And all I could, and luckily he had such a great sense of humor, all he could say was, I hear him on the phone saying, really? You're just lucky he didn't call you.
That's so good. Oh, gosh, I'm dying. All right, quit. Focus. I'm going to talk about something for a second. And I talk about the Rear Admiral.
Of both profound challenge and historic opportunity for U.S. transportation. On one hand, our transportation systems are still grappling with the consequences of the pandemic, climate change, and decades of disinvestment.
Think about this for the Rear Admiral. Think about this. We'll get back to those in a second. You get elevated to transportation secretary as a reward for dropping out of the race and backing Joe Biden. Everyone knows what the deal is. And you want to run for president again. And you get transportation secretary. Keep in mind, transportation secretary is widely known as one of the cushiest gigs. Everyone knows it. What do you even do as transportation secretary? If you're head of the EPA, granted the EPA shouldn't even exist, you actually do have all kinds of different responsibilities and everything. What does transportation secretary do? Nothing. And since he's uniquely qualified to do nothing, they thought, well, this is the perfect guy for the job. I mean, look, is there anyone else who could probably do a train better? No, so let's just give it to him. And then all the trains start running off the tracks. And we have all these airline industries that are going downhill, and it's all happening on his watch. Only when you're the Rear Admiral, you don't have any life skills. You don't have any experience. You certainly didn't never think you were going to have to work or deal with any of this other stuff. So when you get called on all your failures, all you're left with is blaming the pandemic and climate change.
Of both profound challenge and historic opportunity for U.S. transportation. On one hand, our transportation systems are still grappling with the consequences of the pandemic, climate change, and decades of disinvestment.
All right. California bill aims to make it illegal to criticize teachers for instructing in gender ideology. Make it illegal. This is something that and I'll get back to the calls in a minute. This is something we've tried to bring home and again and again and again to you, is how much worse it's going to get in the blue states. Because there's just no check now on Democrats. Now, during Obama's term, remember, we dumped all the rest of the moderates because Obama cost Democrats so many seats. So who was left? We shed all the moderates, and now it's just the full-blown communists are left. And now that's all the Democratic Party is. They're just all communists now. And so there's nobody in places like California to step up and say, no, what? That's insane. They're all insane. At the highest levels, they're all insane. Golly, some rocky times ahead for the blue states. All right, we're going to knock out the rest of these worst you ever screwed up at work calls, and then we're going to do headlines I didn't get to, and then we're going to check out of here because tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and I'm excited about it. And also, we're going to save a baby tonight. That's a gift we're going to give to ourselves tonight. We're going to go to preborn.com/Jesse. And we're going to give $28. That's it. Couple large pizzas. $28. Only instead of buying large pizzas, which you know I'm a big fan of, we're going to buy a scared, confused young woman an ultrasound so Preborn can give it to her for free. And she's going to go in ready to abort that child, and she's going to lay down, and she's going to probably be skeptical. They usually are. And then she hears that heartbeat. And then she knows she's a mom already, and she has a baby to take care of. And then Preborn doesn't just kick her out. They care for her. That's what your $28 does. preborn.com/Jesse. All right. You can do it from your phone. You can dial #250 and say baby. Either way, go. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Super excited for a couple things. One, we'll finish up the calls. Two, headlines I didn't get to. Three, the Dome Cookbook, Cooking with Dome.
And I actually, it is part of my, one day I'm going to write a cookbook, but I do, I've started to actually write my recipes because the kids, my husband will always say, why don't you write down your recipes?
Nobody's ever said that to Dome. Nobody's ever said that to Dome ever at all. It's, all right. This nutball communist representative Jay Powell, I don't know, I don't speak whatever that is.
This country needs immigrants to survive. Immigrants pick the food we eat, rebuild our communities after climate disasters, help construct our infrastructure, power our small business economy, clean our homes, and look after the most precious in our families, our children and our elders.
I love this lady. Hey, who's going to work construction and clean up all this mess if we don't get the immigrants out of here? Gosh, these people. Don't forget, tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's wrap this up. The worst you ever screwed up at work. Marcus, Colorado, go.
Jesse, I was a young 20-year-old school guy. Graduated culinary school and took a great job as a sous chef in a restaurant. And 2-3 weeks later, the chef.
I can't hear him. His phone's messing up. Mike, Mississippi, go.
Yes, sir. Since I'm a full grown man, I've been going to work every day since I was 12 years old. I got plenty of these stories, but I tell you, my favorite one is I don't pay much attention to safety rules. And I was working on a dock, loading and delivering furniture and file cabinets for office supply. And I've been told several times to never deliver what they call fire files by myself. And fire files is basically a file cabinet that's lined with concrete. They weigh 350, some of them weigh up to 500 pounds.
Ooh.
So we got this file cabinet sitting on my dock. It's Friday. I tell everybody in the place, get back early on Friday afternoon because we got to get this thing out of here. 4:30 runs around. Nobody's there. I get a call from the client. They want their file cabinet. I throw it in the back of the truck because it's easy to load. The trick is to unload it. I get to the client. I walk around to the pretty lady up front. I say, what do you want? She tells me exactly where. I clear out a space. Everything's good to go. I say, I'll be right back where you can. I go to the back of the truck. I let the tailgate down so it's at an angle. You know, the gate will just snap off with the weight of these things. And I ease. It's already strapped to a dolly. All I got to do is ease it down to the ground, stand it up, and then go inside with it. I ease it over to the edge of the pickup truck, and that baby takes off with me on it. I wake up in the parking lot. Still attached to it, bloody everywhere, no shirt on. I don't know what happened to my shirt. I pop that baby up. I go in the cab of the truck. I find some paper towels, wipe myself off, get the blood off the cabinet, take it in there, and put it in place. And the lady looks at me like, did you get in a fight or something?
Oh, unlucky you didn't kill him. And that reminds me of that story of me in the bloody elevator when I scared those poor people in Disney World. You remember that story, Chris? You don't remember that story? I'll tell you what. I don't think I have time tonight. I'll tell you what. I will tell that story in the first hour of tomorrow's show if Chris reminds me. If I forget, you can email Chris and yell at him. If Chris reminds me, I will tell that story of scaring the daylights out of that poor young couple in the elevator when I was all bloody. All right, before we get to headlines, do this. Let's remember, we are supporting Tunnel to Towers now and always on this show. Because cop gets ambushed and dies, we feel sorry for the family for a day, and then we forget about them. But the family doesn't forget. The Gold Star families, I know you care about them, I care about them, but we forget about the individual cases. We need Tunnel to Towers to be out there not forgetting on our behalf, caring for these families. doing what we're commanded to do, caring for widows and orphans. Support Tunnel to Towers. Help them care for widows and orphans. They're building an entire community for widows and orphans down in Florida so they can come together and live together. It's just wonderful, man. $11 a month is what they ask for. T, the number 2, T.org. All right? T2T.org. All right. Now, it's time.
And now.
Here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Florida bans instruction on gender identity and sexual orientation in K through 12 classrooms. So while California is aiming to make it illegal to criticize teachers, Florida is banning teachers from discussing these things with your child. Again, you're watching the red and blue states race in opposite directions. And what's wild is this is just the beginning of that. Think what that looks like. Think about the bills California will be passing 10 years from now versus the bills a red state will be passing 10 years from now. Telling you. McCarthy aide and best friend lobbies for Bud Light. Starting to understand now why the GOP told you to stand down when we finally had an American corporation on its knees for this endless rainbow activism. Senate report proposes COVID-19 pandemic spurred by two separate lab leaks. Oh, that's weird. It looks like the conspiracy theorists were right again. Undercover video reveals Indiana schools hiding critical race theory curriculum from your parents. We play this audio for you earlier, a reminder to you in your red area, you still have communist nutballs on your school board and teaching your children. We must take these positions of power back. New York appeals court halts first subpoena in House Judiciary Committee's Trump prosecution inquiry. Yeah, it's going to be a war between the House and New York. And remember, the House is not going to be able to save Trump. They're not. This is the future. If we don't get some red state DAs doing it back to them, this is where we're going. TikTok lobbyists visited White House at least 40 times in the past year. Look, I don't know what the solution is because you can't ever get money out of politics and you should be able to spend money to lobby. But that this country constantly does things against the will of the people and for the will of the lobbyists is not a good thing for the country. Pro DeSantis PAC makes hires in Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina. Huh. I think about all those times I've told people he's running, and he's been running for a long time, and I think about all the emails and phone calls I get telling me, he hasn't even declared yet. What are you talking about? Jesse, I don't even think he's going to run. Jesse's going to be Trump's VP. When I tell you I think something, that's me thinking it. When I tell you I know, it's because I know he's running for president, all right? Has been. He's smartly staying out as long as he possibly can. He's running for president. You don't have to run for president. All you have to do is email your questions for tomorrow. Your Ask Me Anything questions for Dr. Jesse Friday. Email them into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We will have a blast tomorrow. You ready? That's all.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz.
Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.